In this series, on as we look at the person of the Holy Spirit, and we're going to look a little bit at this table again. I don't know if they're able to pull it up, but you see that there's a receiving of the inbreathed Spirit, where Jesus breathes on the disciples as he comes into their midst behind the locked doors, and that was manifested in life and authority. So. What I'm not going to go through, he explained this. You're welcome to listen to his message. It's on the web. But I just was so encouraged that there's those two impartations. It's really something of the authority that God gives and then the power that flows. And so even Jesus, he was full of the Spirit and he came out of the wilderness or out of the temptation or the testing with the power of the Spirit. And so there is that journey. And sometimes I think we stop short. We've received some authority and then we go in that. And the picture that I've got is a little bit of the, this is the dentist drill that Chris was talking about. There is the dentist. Sorry. But sometimes when we've got, you know, I don't know, this is a power tool. And yet it somehow it can go down. The battery can begin to wear down and it needs continual charging. And even if it's really low on battery, eventually it gets to a point where it can start slipping. And it's like we start feel like we're not making headway. And but then we've got even two speeds. Like there's speed one and speed two. You can see this is a power drill. Wow, this thing can go. And there's always more in God. You're thinking the dentist now. No. Sorry. But and then it's like there's a whole box of gifts that come with it. I don't know if you've ever seen. You can see I got a. This wasn't a toy for Christmas, but check. There's a whole box of, you know. There's so much in the Holy Spirit. There's so much that He wants to do, and give gifts, good gifts, and so the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We'll be looking at that in weeks to come. But it's like God, you've got a power tool. He's not the Holy Spirit's not a tool. The Holy Spirit is a person. But he wants to manifest his power. It says, wait till you've been clothed with power from on high to be witnesses, to enable you. In other words, behind locked doors, you don't have what it takes. We don't. We need him to breathe a breath of heaven. We need him to breathe the ruach, the breath, the life of God, the impartation of God, the presence of God. We need that authority that would breathe in us and over us. And then we go in that authority and then we receive the infilling, which is a beautiful thing. And that once we've been filled, and then we go out in the power, and we're able to minister. And Johnny said, it doesn't always come in the right sequence. I mean, this guy, I think I've mentioned some of this testimony, but he just invited me, led me in a prayer, and then he invited me to spend time with him and ministered some good Bible studies out of Romans. And then he said, look, I'm going to pray, and would you like to receive a gift and didn't even explain what the baptism of the Holy Spirit was. He just said, I'm going to pray in a heavenly language, and if you want to receive this, ask. And God clothed me. God gave me this new language, this heavenly language, this gift of tongues. And I just welled up within me. But I hadn't been water baptized. That came later. But once the Holy Spirit got a hold of me, he started showing me and saying, that's what you need to do. You need to be water baptized. And there's a number of folk who feel God speaking to them about that. And so the 8th of May, we're going to have a water baptism. And don't miss it. And a pool party, yeah. We've got the bouncy castle. It's an obstacle course thing. So Duncan Campbell was a great, he was in the Hebridean revival in the 1940s, 1949, and it was perhaps the last significant revival that this nation's experienced. And when you hear some of what they share, there's a tape on the church Dropbox for those who technically are able to. Get onto the church Dropbox. It's just called Revival Fire Side 1 and then Revival Fire Side 2. I do encourage you to listen to the whole tape because in a moment we're going to listen to a little excerpt of some of these guys speaking. One of them is Duncan Campbell, but I think this could be Leonard Ravenhill who's speaking out. And it was a compilation of revival testimony and revival preaching that came out of from all over, but they collated it. And so Duncan Campbell said, what the church needs is not churches. Well, to impact the communities. We don't need churches filled with people. We need people filled with God. And I think that's what we're headed. We're wanting to experience that. So I don't know if you're able to put that on. We'll listen for a minute or two.
God won't die in you. But all he's asking you this morning is to let the walls down, let the fire in. Isn't that awesome? That a man with such a colossal intellect and background, he said day by day, enlarge and fill my heart with boundless charity divine. I can't live in coldness anymore. I can't live in blindness anymore. I can't be indifferent to a dying world. Every preacher who has lost the fire, you should be on your face down here. You used to burn, but you got so busy with organizing. The fire has gone out. Come on. I believe God's going to breathe on us this morning. I believe you're going from this place. I believe you're going to have to say, I'm in the valley of decision.
Take me past the outer courts and through the holy place, past the brazen altar. Lord, I want to see your face. Pass me by the crowds of people and the priests who sing their praise. I hunger and thirst for your righteousness, and it's only found one place. So take me in to the Holy of Holies. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Take me in to the Holy of Holies. Take the coal, cleanse my lips, here I am. Take me past the outer courts and through the holy place, past the brazen altar. Lord, I want to see your face. Pass me by the crowds of people and the priests who sing their praise. I hunger and thirst for your righteousness, but it's only found one place. So take me in.
Responds to hunger and thirst. To a hungry people, he said, I'll fill you. To a thirsty people, I'll fill you. And so when I think of Jesus, John the Baptist saying, I'll baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Some early translations, maybe Paul could help us with this, but some early translations apparently used to say just the Holy Ghost fire. He'll baptize you with Holy Ghost fire. And his winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into his barn, burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. This isn't, friends, a picture of Jesus, gentle Jesus, meek and mild. Friends, this is an awesome, it's fearful to fall into the hands of the living God because he's a consuming fire. It's like God is not a God to just, you know, even Moses had to take off his shoes because he was standing on holy ground in the presence of a holy God. And even the bush wasn't being burnt up because there was a fire, but it was not a natural fire. And even that picture that Ken spoke about, you know, there's the natural skin, but then there's the cream, like the supernatural. It's like that sun cream. And that was like the inbreathing, the original God's breathing over his disciples. But then there was the infilling that came after that at Pentecost. So this is what Leonard Ravenhill said. He said, God is a consuming fire. The Holy Spirit is a fire, a spirit of fire. And Jesus said, I've come to bring fire on earth. There's no escaping fire. And this is what he says. He says, this is a kind of cliche of mine, but I get a lift out of saying it. I believe the world is going to hellfire because the church has lost Holy Ghost fire. And so God, it's like when people are, was it Smith? No, it wasn't Smith Wigglesworth. I think it was John Wesley. Somebody said, I set myself on fire and then people come and see me burn. You may not remember who said that, but it's that. The church on fire is a church that's going to be contagious because it's going to affect people. Fire does. Fire has that sense of spreading. And I think our young guys are going to be fire starters. And I want to read a few prophetic words that God's spoken over this church, because some of you have joined in the last while, but the church has been going for longer than we've been here. And Margaret's been here probably 15, 20 years. Close to that. And so there's words that have come over the church. When the Holy Ghost, when the Holy Spirit came in the upper room, how did he come? Did he come as a dove? When Jesus received the baptism, the Holy Spirit came on him as a dove. But you see, there was nothing in him to purify. But when the Holy Spirit comes in Pentecost, he came as cloven tongues of fire, because there's a purification. There's a power that comes down. And I want to call it refiner's fire. And William Booth, he was the great revivalist, but the leader of the Salvation Army, birthed a movement along with his wife, Catherine. And they were kicked out of a traditional church. I don't know where, you know, I've come from good stock, that particular church, but they were actually going to be kicked out of the church because of what God was doing and in their lives, and they were becoming quite radical. And anyway, he put his arm around his wife, his shoulder, and he said, "Darling, God's going to raise up an army." She said, "From where?" And he said, "We're going to take all the cast-offs, all the dropouts, all those that have in the gutter. We're going to take the least." And he wrote a wonderful hymn: "Thou Christ of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire." Don't you like that? I don't know if we've ever sung it. Who's sung it here before? There we go. Margaret, you see, she's got the fire. "Thy blood-bought gift today we claim. Send the fire. Look down and see this waiting host. Give us the promised Holy Ghost. We want another Pentecost." I'm not sure if we do, but we need it. There was one Pentecost, but we need that which came. To make our weak hearts strong and brave, send the fire. To live a dying world to save, send the fire. Oh, see us thine altar lay our lives, our all this very day. To crown the offering now we pray, send the fire, send the fire. And let the fire fall, let the wind blow, let the glory come down. And that's been a bit of an anthem in my prayer life. Lord, let the fire fall, let the wind blow, let the glory come down. And when I look at 1 John 3, that passage, if you can put it up, starts with, "Oh, what love, see what great love the Father has lavished on us." Lavished on us. He's a lavish Father. He gives good gifts, and the gift of the Holy Spirit is a good gift, but the love that he's poured out is a lavish love. That we would be called children of the Most High, and that is what we are. And I'm kind of not going to read all 9 verses, but we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And all who have this hope purify themselves just as he's pure. Friends, that's only possible in the crucible of love. You know, when you refine as fire, when they take the gold and you heat it up and you refine it. And how do they know when it's pure? Does anyone know? How do they know when the dross is all gone? Because they allow the dross to surface and then they remove the dross. And then, so that's why you get 9 carat, 18 carat. Does it go up to 21 or 22 carat? But that's just purifying. And how do you know? How do you know when it's, well, for the, is it the goldsmith? When they can see their reflection. You see, God is a mirror. But Bible says the word of God is a mirror. And when we can see Christ, when we can see, when he looks upon us and we're more Christ-like, and we're more Christ-like, and we're reflecting more of his glory with unveiled faces, it's beautiful. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away sins, and in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. As someone said, we can be dead in sin or dead to sin. Which would you rather be? Which would you rather be? I suppose it's, do we live in ourselves or for ourselves? Or are we living in him or in ourselves? And it's in dying we live. That's the great mystery. That's the great paradox. We die to live. It's like, why don't you do me a favor? Just kill me now. That I can live. That I can truly live. How then shall we truly live? It's like laying down our lives, taking up our cross. And that is life. And the world resists that. And actually, we resist that, and if we're honest. Because it's difficult to be a living sacrifice. You want to get off the altar. Nobody wants to live on the altar. Who wants to stay there? It's like, yeah, I once went there, and that's great. But it's like, oh God, help us to be in that place. Dead to self and alive to God, and dead to sin, so that he may move upon our hearts, that our hearts may be broken with the things that break God's heart. That was a great, I think it was the guy, Campus Crusade for Christ. Anyway, it'll come to me. I think he had that saying, and that speaks to me of breaking or shattering our indifference, our complacency. Because I think familiarity, sometimes we walked with God many years and it's like, oh yes, I remember. Friends, when I can remember a time where I watched something and it wasn't, you know, horrendous, but it was enough for the Holy Spirit to be grieved. The Holy Spirit in me was grieved. And I remember lying on my bed and just feeling that grief, feeling I was intimate with the Holy Spirit in a place where I actually felt his pain. And I felt his grief, and I felt, God, I'm sorry. And I asked his forgiveness, and I received his forgiveness. Friends, it's not living in a place where we're under condemnation. It's just being sensitive to the promptings of the Spirit, because the Spirit of God wants to speak to us. He wants to show us and lead us and guide us and lead us to all truth. And he is the comfort. He is the counselor, and we will look and explore some of those. But it's that intimacy, and I want that again. People have said, you know, if you can remember a time where you were closer to God, then you backslidden. I thought, oh God, I can remember that time where I was so grieved. And I was like, God, let that sensitivity come back in a greater and greater and greater measure. So that I'm not attracted to the things of the world. That I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. That I'm not able to be enticed by things. It's a greater love displacing lesser love. Then other things don't have the attraction on. You know, it's like, well, do I need to? Do I need to? No, there's no desire there anymore, because there's a greater desire for the Lord and for his presence and for holiness. And I think great soul winners came out of that place where there was a great travail, where they would, you know, give me this nation or I'll die. You know, John Knox for Scotland, give me Scotland or I'll die. I haven't heard too many prayers said like that, you know, or kill me, you know, just rather let me die than not see. And what was it? The Queen of England was more fearful of the prayers of John Knox than the armies of Scotland. Am I right? Yeah. Don't tell Ellie that, but you know, she knows that. So some of the prophetic pictures, friends, of being full of the Spirit and on fire. I've mentioned the one about the Christmas pudding. A delicious, loaded with lots of fruit. Fruit of the Spirit. Hey, love, joy, peace, all the fruit of the Spirit in that Christmas pudding makes you hungry. And so that this particular prophetic word from Community Watchman Ministries, I think it's headed up by Sue Sinclair, was that God was going to build the church, speaking of Gateway Church, multiculturally, people of all types, talents, and fill it with His Spirit, soaked and delicious. Amen. We can pray over that. And then there was a picture that, I don't know if Simon knows, he was quite prophetic, but he posted a picture of this chimney flume. Do you know, what do you call it, a brazier in the garden? But it's one that's got a chimney attached to it with a flume.
Chimney.
Chimney. Sounds like chimney cricket. Chimney. Chimney. There's a chitty chitty bang bang. Sorry, we'll get back to the story. Sorry, thanks, love. So then we got this chimney, and he said, how to make a volcano. Friends, this is a picture for all of us. How do you become on fire, a raging volcano for God? Well, in this particular little picture, they had a leaf blower, and they were blowing air from the leaf blower into this chimney, and it was just shooting out a volcano of flames at the top. So who wants to try it? Just don't try it indoors. You know, they say on those things, please do not use this indoors. So I just think that's what God wants to do. He wants to breathe a wind of heaven, a wind of His Spirit. He wants to blow in His church. He wants, you know, the sound like a mighty rushing wind. Blow again in us. Blow in us, Lord. Let the winds. We're setting our sails for eternity, but we need the wind of the Spirit. Amen. And then there was this word from Eldred Engelsman. This is somebody that Ken actually ministered with years ago. I don't know if he was on Eldred's eldership team. Eldred's eldership team. Eldred Engelsman. He's not an Englishman, but he's a South African man, and he's a lovely man, and I love his heart. He's just a beautiful. And one day, I hope he'll come back. But he's retired. He's been married 70 years. They were celebrating their 70th anniversary. I'm getting off the point. But he prophesied this. He said, God's lighting the fire, planting a fire base. He saw a refreshing wind blow into the bare fireplaces of the houses. The fireplaces came alight. Warmth came from them, and the people in the houses gathered around the fires for warmth. They danced and celebrated and ate in front of the fires. They moved from one house to another. Then the people from each house brought shovels full of hot coals to a central place to make a pile of coals. And he said, Gateway will be a place of fire and warmth for the people outside, bringing warmth and life and hope to the city. Amen. Amen. And I think there was a similar word about pots of stew and the aroma and that being cooked and the nutritious meal. And while we were in South Africa, before we came, there was a friend of ours, Nathan, not Nathan, anyway, I'll think of his name, but he shared this word over us. Neelan, I knew it started with an N. And it was of power lines, overhead power cables. And he felt those power cables needed to come into homes, that it was like they needed to be electrified. They needed to experience something of the current, of the power. And friends, do you know, that's like God. It's like God's got this transforming power that He just needs to connect. When you think of the defibrillator, when you think of the paddles, what is revival? Friends, it's revival is to try and awaken something that's threatening or to be a corpse or to die. That's what they do. Is that person's about to die. They're about to become a corpse. They're about to lose their life. We've got to revive. We've got to bring the paddles. We've got to put the defibrillator on. And I think there's even an explanation that I looked up on what a defibrillator is. It's a treatment for life-threatening cardiac failure and consists of having a therapeutic dose of electric current to the heart. Therapeutic dose. Some have defined the word revive, that is to bring back life when a body is threatening to be a corpse. Do we need a divine defibrillator? Do we need one? It's like, woo, just connection, power. Oh Lord, let me, like Ken spoke about it, felt like he'd put his fingers in a socket, you know. And I said to him, there was another guy, Rodney Howard Brown, who in a youth meeting, he stood up and he started crying out and they were all praying, that's great, you know, keep praying. And he was passionate, he was zealous. And he kept saying, God, send the fire, God, I want fire. Won't you pour out your fire on me, fill me with your fire, you know. And he kept praying 10 minutes, 20 minutes. Guys are starting to, you know, where people feel like a little bit embarrassed and they're like, they felt like this is too much. And eventually, man, when he received, did he receive? Because he was saying things like, God, unless you send the fire, I'm going to have to die and come up there and get it. I mean, he was praying, a young guy, 17 years old, praying that sort of prayer. Friends, that guy's had a worldwide ministry, and you may not agree with everything that happens, but my goodness, when he comes, there's something of the power and the presence and the fire of God that's over his ministry, and people get ministered to. And so I think I'm stirring myself up, friends. I'm stirring myself up. I know that it's like, God, that we will take that cleanse my lips, here I am. Past the outer court, past the brazen altar, to the Holy of Holies, to the holy place. Past the holy place, to the Holy of Holies. And it's like that fire of cleansing, that fire of the Spirit of God, the coals from the altar. So friends, I think I've shared quite a bit this morning, and I think I'm going to land it there. I wanted to go on to who is the Holy Spirit, and I know that there'll be a time for that. But he is a person, he's the person of the Holy Spirit. And my other point was, he is divine. The Holy Spirit is divine. And the question is not how much of the Holy Spirit do I have, but how much does the Holy Spirit have of me? And then he's the third person of the Trinity. So friends, and his many things is described as wind that's powerful and sovereign. You don't know where the wind comes from and you don't know where it goes. It's sovereign. It's powerful. It blows wherever it pleases. He's described as fire, which is refining and destroying. It purifies, it cleanses. And water also cleanses and sustaining. The Holy Spirit's described as things. He's not these things, but he's described in metaphorically as these things. And then oil. That's a lovely picture. So we've had wind, fire, water, and oil, anointing and healing. The oil, the balm, the healing. And then a dove. That's peace and gentleness. And then also the fruits of the Spirit are a description of his nature. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, and self-control. That's who he is. Beautiful. Let's keep exploring. Keep hungering. Let's be thirsty. More than even natural food. I don't even want to say, let's go and have food. let's keep feasting at the Lord's table before we have other meals. So bless you. I'm just stirring the waters this morning. That's all I'm doing. Which speed do you want to be on? Do you want to be on this kind of... or do you want to be on like... So that's the picture for you this morning. Plug in. Plug in. Charge up. I put that thing on charge just for this illustration to make sure it was on full charge. I didn't want it failing on me. So bless you. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you are all that you promise. And I thank you that we can trust you. Even Father, we can trust your gifts, that as we, as fathers that are imperfect, even as the scripture says, though you are evil, you give good gifts to your children. How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Lord, we want to be those who are seeking, asking, knocking. Because when we seek, we'll find. When we knock, it will be open to us. When we ask, we receive. God, help us to be those who are hungry and thirsty for your righteousness. Hungry and thirsty for more of you. Not just for the power's sake, but to be full of you, Lord. And less of us. More of you and less of us. None of us and all of you. That's really the direction we're wanting to go. That we will be yielded vessels, as we heard this morning. Completely given over to you. Our whole hearts, body, soul, and spirit. Lord, we want to be those living sacrifices, Lord. So send the fire and let the things that displease you be burnt up. Let them be inconsequential. Let them be shattered, Lord. Indifference in our hearts, even to lost people, Lord. Even as I traveled in the park yesterday and seeing young lads doing drugs, and I just felt, God, what am I going to say to these guys? There's six of them and only one of me. But I stopped and I didn't know what, and I was just saying, God, even looked in my pocket for tracts. And just, God, give me the boldness. I'm not fully there. I know there's more boldness. There's more power that you're wanting to minister in us and through us. And so, Lord, all of us have got more to receive. And I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.